Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Well, we're continuing our series today on culture with an interview with one of my favorite leaders, really, that I've ever met. It's a guy named Dave Katz, and he's the president and COO of the Coca-Cola Bottling Company based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dave has created an incredible culture of collaboration and innovation at Coca-Cola Bottling Company. I actually got to see him firsthand when I went and visited them last year, and he truly is an incredible leader. In this conversation you're about to hear, he and Tim talk about the healthy components of a life-giving culture and how you guys can apply it to the cultures that you're in right now. So let's listen in and enjoy.
Well, I'm sitting down with my very good friend, Dave, at least I consider you a good friend, Dave Katz, who has recently been promoted to president and chief operating officer of the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. How many employees do you have working under you?
You know, Tim, we because we're a pretty seasonal business, we're always careful about an exact number because, you know, the summertime tends to be higher. But we're right around 17,000 teammates right now.
Yeah, that's huge. That's just gigantic. And so you have served in a number of executive roles, but now president of this great company. And the reason I wanted to talk to you and let others listen in is I have been so impressed with the culture that you have built in your organization. I was very privileged to join you this past year for an event, and I remember you were there, and we shook hands and reminisced a little bit, but then I just met person after person that carried the culture with them in their spirit. You know, it's just they were alive and joyful and seemed to be feeling like this was more than a job. It was a calling, and that doesn't happen every day. So I want to start in. Share with our listeners the unique values that the Coca-Cola Bottling Company that you lead embraces that have contributed to a great company culture.
Well, I appreciate the comments on that, and it's good to hear your experience came across that way when you were with us, so we appreciated that time as well.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, and I should probably add that I've only been here. I'm just about ready to celebrate my sixth anniversary at Coke Consolidated, and so I'm just grateful to the number of great leaders that came before me that did a lot of hard work on building the culture. And our chairman and CEO, Frank Harrison, probably at the head of that pack just in terms of his ownership of our culture. But what we like to say that our culture is our purpose and our purpose is our culture. And so we kind of try to tie those things together. And I think you'll recall hearing us talk about our purpose statement, which, you know, starts with honoring God in all we do and continues with serving others, pursuing excellence, and growing profitably. And so those kind of four statements of our purpose form the foundation of our culture. And so I think we start with that, and at the risk of talking too long, I won't go through all our values, but we kind of support that by a set of 10 core values that represent that purpose statement. And so that's really at the in the engine room of our culture are those values.
Good. I love that. So you really start with macro. You unashamedly say we want to honor our creator, but then it gets down to the hands-on nitty-gritty. We got to work profitably here. We've got to generate revenue and stay in the black. So it's practical, and I love how it's macro too. You remind each other of the ultimate reason why you're doing what you're doing. That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of folks, I've talked to a lot of leaders about culture building and answering the question why for people. I think it's a great entryway into building culture when people understand the why, and we hold that purpose statement up as the this is why we are here, and then everything else can flow from that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, Dave, you and I've talked a lot about these habitude images that we created. One of my favorite images, I think you guys embody so well, it's puzzle pieces and box tops. So every person is a puzzle piece, and you need them all to be a complete picture, but everybody's got to keep the box top in mind. That's what shows you the big picture. This is what we're trying to do here. I feel like was with a bunch of people that day with you that seemed to get it. Maybe you'd say, Tim, not all of them get it, but they seemed to really get it, and I was honored to get to be with you. So here's another question, Dave. If you were sitting down with another CEO or, let's say, a principal of a high school, because we talk to a lot of educators, and you were just going to have coffee, What would you say are the critical components to a healthy, life-giving culture? What would you say the ingredients have to go into it?
Yeah, well, that's another really great question. And I would probably start answering by saying we're still learning.
Okay.
And given the big growth, you know, we've just about tripled in size over the last 4 or 5
yeah.
years. I think we're relearning the best ways to build a great culture and keep that culture alive. So I don't want to come across as the expert by any
yeah,
means,
sure.
just because I think we're all still on a journey here. But a few things that I think have been really important to us, communication's been one, and really being upfront about communicating our culture. And I'd probably, you know, give a little plug to Growing Leaders in this as well, as, you know, as we talked about how do we talk about culture, doing the work we did with your team on Habitudes and having a Habitude for each of our values gives our leaders a great way to talk about each of the values and gives them a unique way to share their own stories as part of those values. So I think communication is super important. And maybe equally important, actually probably more important, is just that leaders are living out the values where they can.
Yeah.
And so we try really hard around our company to make sure that we're demonstrating how those values work out. We joke about it a lot, but just little things.
Yeah.
It's almost gotten to be a sport around our company around servant leadership. When leaders get into a car, who's going to get the back seat versus the front seat?
Yes.
You know, a lot of times people jockey, you know, calling shotgun to try to get the front seat. And we always say, well, the servant leader should be in the back
seat.
That's
right.
So it's almost gotten to be a bit of a joke around here about who's going to jump in the back seat. But those little things, I think, mean a lot about how we live out our culture. And then we've worked really hard to just reinforce positive reinforcement of behaviors that we think are supportive of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, after you were with us last year, the guy that runs our culture team here at the company created a set of, they were just simple note cards, and there's 10 of them because we have 10 core values that we gave to leaders to say, hey, if you see a teammate exhibiting a value in a way that's just special and unique, here's a card, and it's literally like a greeting card that you can write a special note to say, you know, hey, Tim, I noticed you the other day really demonstrating the value of discipline, and I just want to call you out for that.
I love that.
I think communicating, living it, and then supporting it, those would be the three big ones for me.
What gets rewarded gets repeated. I think our friend Andy has said
that
many, many times. I love that. That's so practical. And I'm thinking a school principal, a college dean, an athletic director, a coach, we can all do that. Just reminding and reinforcing, this is what I saw you do. Do it again. That's great. Excellent. So let's say we're going back to that coffee I just suggested you were having with a school leader or a CEO. How would you advise him or her on how to live out those values? You just mentioned getting in the back of the car. Did you specifically come up with maybe 3 or 4 behaviors that executive level people could do, or did those just surface naturally over time?
I think a little bit of both, and
okay.
I probably should have said that even at the outset. I think part of what's happened at our company is we've had a lot of our culture that got built organically. It's probably over the last 25 years, again, way before I got here.
Yeah.
And over the last probably decade or so have begun to commit that to writing.
Yeah.
That's when we put down our purpose statement in writing and our values in writing. So I'd say a little bit of blend of both.
Okay.
But as part of our – we have a document. It's kind of a purpose statement document, a one-pager. And it has a section that we call the we will section, because there's a handful of statements that talk about what we will do. And so that they're the actions that we're looking to reinforce. And so there's one that says we will practice humility by putting others first. And that would, you know, kind of be one of those getting in the backseat of the car would be a simple example of that. But you can imagine more complicated examples. We have on the business, more of the business side, we have a statement that says we will have clear objectives, measure results, and celebrate success. And so we've tried to put together a framework of actions that we believe support the purpose statement, but it's obviously never going to be complete, because there's always unique ways to live out the purpose statement. But we feel like it at least gives people a guideline for the behaviors that we would expect to see. And quite honestly, on the flip side of that, which we try to focus on the positive, but it also kind of spells out the behaviors that wouldn't be tolerated in our culture.
Interesting. Okay. So these are grown-ups that are working for you, but you need a don't do just as well as a do section. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and doesn't that just keep it from being toxic? I mean, toxic's a strong word, but I have found people are down on what they're not up on. So in other words, if we don't get communicated with, like you just suggested, we can tend to start believing the worst. I don't know why our brains do that, but we get lazy, we get negative, left to ourselves, and we need a leader that's reminding us of our best version of ourselves. So yeah, I love how you're doing that. That's good. So Dave, here's another question. What's been the toughest element of deepening the culture there? And how have you addressed it? What have been some of the hurdles, I guess, maybe that would encourage other leaders to say, oh, good, that happens there too?
I have a couple examples I can think of. So I don't know if I could say toughest, but I could probably share some of the examples that I think are tough. And probably starting with tough times, I think test cultures. Mm-hmm. And that can actually be a positive. Frank, who you met, our chairman, is pretty commonly will say, you know, the tough times, we should be thankful for tough times because they really teach us good lessons.
Yeah,
and I think that's true. It doesn't make them easier.
That's right.
But a lot of times you really can put a culture to the test when you're in a tough economic environment. Our industry this year has had a very rough commodities environment. So the input costs to produce our products have gone up much more than they historically would. And so you can imagine that puts pressure on our businesses throughout our P&L. And so when you're feeling pressure on the business, it's easy to go back to behaviors that you might have learned in other environments.
Yes.
So I think tough times make culture building more difficult, but sometimes you actually get a better result, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking, Dave? I don't mean to interrupt, but when you talk about tough times and we tend to go back to a worse behavior or attitude perhaps we learned in another culture. Remember Stephen Covey years ago talked about the abundance paradigm and the scarcity paradigm. I don't know about you, but if things are hard, it's so easy for me to unwittingly move to a scarcity paradigm. Things are running out. Things are going bad. We're going to lose something, you know. And then you just turn into the worst version of yourself, you know, when you start feeling that. We're not good parents in that mode. We're not good leaders in that mode. So, So tough times can be brilliant or they can take us the wrong direction. Yeah.
They can, but I think we learn from both of those, and so the positive on both sides of that probably would be the way I would say it. But I'm an optimist, so optimism happens to be one of our 10 values too. So we try to take a positive view on those things.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'd say the other challenge, and again, it's been a positive thing for us in total, but going through a rapid growth period and. When you have a lot of new teammates, and I'm not a high school principal or an educator, but I would imagine it's the same thing when the year changes over and you've got a new class and you've built culture with last year's class and now it's a bunch of new people. Getting new folks started up on a culture is difficult work. And I wouldn't say the toughest, but can be tough.
Yeah.
And so we had a company that had an opportunity to kind of organically grow its culture over 20, 25 years, and then all of a sudden we're, you know, almost tripling in size over 4 or 5 years. And so people didn't have the time necessary to soak in the culture the way that folks that had been around our company for a long time did. And so we've really had to focus on how do we really let people experience the culture and how do we communicate the culture in a way that doesn't take someone 20 years to figure out what it is. And so really trying to on-ramp people quicker than we had probably done in the past.
And that's been
tough for us too.
Yeah. Well, and I'm even thinking maybe more intentionally. The soakers could have had 25 years to get it. You've now put somebody in charge of this, haven't you, of this culture thing. And the images are part of this, but you're right. You've got to communicate a bunch and then make sure that the learning curve happens rapidly.
And I think, again, true, probably in any environment, I think people tend to be skeptical might be too harsh of a word for it, but people, you know, they want you to prove it to them.
Yeah,
I think that's true in any environment you're in, schools, workplaces, homes, that you can talk about something like this and say, hey, we believe in honesty and integrity. That's one of our values.
Yeah.
But until people experience you over a cycle of life, and see how you live out honesty and integrity, they're going to be a little skeptical of that. And so there is a certain amount of time that's required just for people to experience it.
No doubt about it. It's just like any good relationship. You don't get married after one date. You know, you get to know each other. And that's the same thing. It just takes time to do that, where it's organic, like you said. So, Dave, just a minute ago, you talked about onboarding a whole bunch of people in the last 4 or 5 years. How does the hiring process reinforce those values of your Coca-Cola bottling company, Consolidated? How do you do that? Think about talking to a high school principal, perhaps, and he or she is bringing on new faculty, new staff. What advice would you give them about hiring the culture and making sure that they get it quickly? Would there be any tips or ideas you can think of?
Yeah, I don't know if you'd consider these tips or ideas, but there's a couple things that I think have worked pretty well for us in the hiring process. One really simple one for us is because our purpose statement is at the core of our culture. If you were to walk our building, and specifically if you were to be in one of the conference rooms where we do interviews, it would be prominently displayed on the wall.
Yeah.
And our purpose statement almost always will beg some type of comment or question from a potential new hire as they're getting to learn about our company. And if they're researching us, which most people would do on the internet, it's out there on the internet. And so the purpose statement gives us an entree to talk about culture and specifically about values. And so especially with ours at the top line, we say honor God and all we do, that usually will beg some sort of question from folks. And we talk about that a lot, about the values that support that. No matter what your faith belief is or isn't at all, that these values are what support that culture. And so it gives us an opportunity to talk about that in an open way. So it's not a surprise about what these values mean. So being upfront about whatever your culture is, that's visible to people when they're researching your school or your company, whether it's on your websites or it's, you know, we put it on business cards or we put it on posters so that people would see it, would be the first one. And then the second one, and this actually is not just for how we interview, but also how we do performance reviews, is just making sure we ask questions that would bring out those values in potential candidates. So I might ask someone to, you know, give me an example where you demonstrated accountability in your career in another job, or where you demonstrated a morality at work, you know. And so picking our values and building questions out of those on the behavioral side of how we interview folks has been helpful. And then, as I mentioned before, we do that on the flip side. Once you are a teammate at our company, when it's time to do your performance review, we're a business, so we're certainly going to hold you accountable for the business results.
Yeah.
But there's a section of the performance review that talks about how did you achieve those results, and that's really centered on the value. So again, people are getting the reinforcement that it's not acceptable to get great results the wrong way.
Yes.
And so you got to have to demonstrate through your career that you're living out the values.
Yeah. So there's a regular day of reckoning where you're actually talking.
That's
we do
right.
the same thing. I think it's important. One of the phrases that we've often used, I thought of it when you were talking, was people do better when they're watched. You know, when I know somebody's watching me, I just live a better life. So in many ways, that's just showing, hey, we're watching. And that does, that's not scolding or punishing. It could be very affirming if you're doing the right thing. So I love the fact that you do that. It's like a family in some sense, in one way there.
Definitely.
So one of the reasons I guess I'm just impressed with your work, and I know you don't claim to be, you know, you're now the president, but you were there a number of years, but not all 25 years. When you joined Coke there, didn't you have about 4,000 employees, something like that, and now it's 17 on a good day? Is
we were probably about right around 6,000.
Okay.
Again, the number moves up and down because we have a fair number of part-time people that come in the summer, but I think we are right around 6,000 when I got here.
Okay. So, yeah, but it's a lot more now. So, I guess
it is a bunch more.
Yeah. If you're writing this down, folks, that's a bunch, B-U-N-C-H. I want to ask one big last huge question, Dave, and we can talk as long or as little as you want to, but I respect you as a leader, as a friend, and one who's going to join us in June in Atlanta, June 2021, for our roundtable for principals. Thank you for doing that. And you're going to talk about culture and translate it for educational leaders. Tell me real quick, what are the most important leadership lessons or ideas, nuggets, if you will, that you picked up as you've served as an executive for Coke? And I don't know if you're prepared to answer that, but just muse out loud. Think out loud, if you will. What are some of the most important leadership lessons or nuggets you picked up leading at Coke?
Well, I'm glad you said I could muse out loud, because it's always when someone says the most, it's always tough to answer the question about what the most important are. So, this may be a little bit musing out loud, but I think one of the, I don't know if this is a lesson or not, but part of what I have felt personally when I got to this company, like I said, almost 6 years ago, and stepped into a culture that I could feel the specialness of it. Yeah. And it was not something I had created at all. Yeah. Other people had created a culture that I got to benefit from. And I view it, I tell people all the time, I view it almost like a gift that I was given to get to work in a company that had a culture like that. And so one of the lessons that I've gotten out of that is I almost feel obligation may not be the right word, but it's a close to the right word, that somebody's going to step in the front door of this company 20 years from now, and the culture that they experience is going to be the legacy of what the current leadership team, the team that's around me today, has built. And we have an opportunity to have folks experience maybe even better than what I experienced by walking the door. And this kind of – the lesson in that to me is around legacy, because somebody and somebody's worked really, really hard for a number of years for something that I got to experience, and they weren't even here probably by the time I started at Coke Consolidated. So just that the lesson around we're all going to leave some type of legacy, and what is that legacy going to be? So that's certainly been a big one for me. I think another one that I would say is just the experience of modeling leadership. I mentioned that earlier, you know, that we try hard to make sure our leaders model the culture. I've seen it from the top, literally from the top down at our company. Our chairman probably embodies our values and our purpose statement as good as any teammate at our entire company. And watching him interact with executives or customers or politicians or truck drivers or warehouse workers and seeing a consistency in how that's lived out has been a great lesson for me. You just mentioned the nature of, you know, when someone's watching, you perform better. You're kind of under that lens, and watching the way he's done that has been a great model for me to say, okay, I need to be conscious that folks around me in every environment at work are watching what I do, and they're looking to see, hey, is this guy going to actually live out what he's got on the poster or on the wall, or is he going to act differently than that? Mm-hmm. So the consistency of behavior has been another big, big lesson for me.
I love that. You know, one of the things that stood out as we have talked is the uniqueness. You've even pointed that out, that there's a unique culture there where you are. I want to remind listeners, when you think about the values and the culture that you enjoy, is there something that differentiates it from others? I love, for instance, the word excellence, but we need to be thinking, how do we show excellence? And is there a word that would be make us different than the school down the street, the business down the street, the hospital down the street? You guys have really differentiated yourselves. I mean, I felt it, not just heard it. And you're right, Frank and Hank and you are just guys that are just doing it day in and day out. I know you don't claim to be perfect, but there's something different and special. You knew it was special when you got there. So listeners, just as you listen, don't just come up with core values that are the same things you heard somebody else doing down the street. What's really uniquely you, and how can you differentiate yourself that makes the culture stand out? I don't know if you want to comment on that, Dave, but that's my takeaway from your words over the last 20 or 25 minutes. Any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think I think that's differentiated is a great way to put it. But even the thing that sprung to my mind is just getting the feedback for how other people experience your culture and whether that's students at your school or employees at your company or people that interact with you. I think it's important. It's almost important to hear from them. Okay. How do you experience us? And what do you think is different or unique about us, because I think sometimes what we think is different or unique is not how people experience us.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. And so I think getting that kind of total view of if I'm out of school and I have a culture that I'm trying to build as a principal or as an educator, what does the average student, how are they experiencing
that? Yeah, it's a great question. That's kind of the ultimate question for an administrator is how's the end user experiencing what we try to create here? That's good.
Exactly.
Rich. Dave, this has been so good. Thank you for carving out some time and just having an interview with me. I'm grateful. But let me remind listeners, you're going to be with us June 2021 for our two-day roundtable, and you're going to address culture issues and help translate them for educational leaders. I know you care about the next generation, Dave. We've talked about that. You're a dad, and I'm just really looking forward to that time. And if you're a listener and you're a school administrator, we'd love to have you join us in Atlanta, June 2021. Dave, thanks again for everything. We're looking forward to seeing you soon.
Tim, thanks. Thank you for the time, and thanks for helping pour into our culture at our company as well.
You bet. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening in on that conversation. If you heard Dave Katz speak and you thought, I want more of this, we actually have an event where Dave is going to be one of our featured speakers. It's our Roundtable for Principals coming up this June 20th and 21st. That's this year, 2019. And this is exclusively designed for principals who work in middle schools and high schools. We're going to help you figure out how to create an amazing culture for both your staff and your students. So you do not want to miss it. June 20th and 21st. We hope to see you there. Thanks for listening in on this podcast, and we'll see you next time.